Hayamid Beis, three lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, I say Gita, Palga Ichtav Kamei, Falga Lo Ichtav Kamei. So Rabba was a shaliach delivering a get, and he said that he only saw half of the get written in his presence. Asa lekamei de Rabbi Elazar, Amar lei, afilu lo kasa bo ela shita achas l'shma shuvenu tzarech. Rabbi Elazar says that even if you only saw one line of the get written l'shma, that's okay. In other words, you don't have to witness the entire get be written l'shma. Rav Ashi amar, afilu kan kumusa v'kan megilta. Rav Ashi takes it even a step further. You don't even have to see the get being written at all. Even if you just hear the sound of the quill scratching, or you hear the sound of the scroll ruffling or something like that, that's also okay. As long as you know that the sofer is writing the get, that's enough to say b'fanei nechtav. Tanya kivasei de Rav Ashi, hamevi get mi medina sayam, afilu hu b'bayis the sofer ba'aliya, hu ba'aliya the sofer ba'bayis, afilu nichnas viyotze kol hayom kulo kasher. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that says, if a person brings a get from Chutz La'aretz, even if he was in the house and the sofer was in the attic, or he was in the attic and the sofer was in the main part of the house, even if he's coming and going all day, the Gemara says the get is still kasher. So the Gemara asks, hu babayis the sofer ba'aliya haloka chazile. The brisa said that if the shaliach was in the main part of the house and the sofer was in the attic, that the get is kasher. How could the get possibly be kasher? In other words, he didn't see him. The attic is not attached to the main part of the house, it's separate. How could he have possibly seen the sofer writing the get? So the Gemara says, Elalav could go to Shama Kan Kulmusa Vekan Megilta. It must be the answer the Gemara gave before, that he doesn't actually need to see the get being written. As long as he hears the scratching of the quill or the ruffling of the cloth or whatever it is, that's sufficient. Then the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Afilu Nichnas Viyotse Kolayon Kulo Kasher Man. The Gemara told us that even if he's entering and exiting all day, the get is kasher. So the question is, who exactly is entering and exiting all day? Ilema Shalom. It can't be referring to the shaliach, because the Gemara already told us that even if the shaliach doesn't see the writing of the get at all, the get is kasher. As long as he hears the scratching of the quill, the ruffling of the cloth, that's sufficient. So in Kal v'Chomer, if he's going in and out and he witnessed part of the writing of the get for sure, that should be sufficient. What would the chiddush of the Gemara be? So the Gemara says, Elosofer pshita mishum denichnas v'yotzei nifsaline. On the other hand, if the Gemara meant that the get is kosher, if let's say the sofer is coming in and out of the house all day, well, what's the chiddush in that? Why is the fact that the sofer is leaving the house in the middle of the day and then he comes back and finishes the get later, why should that possibly disqualify the get? So the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha de nafak l'shuka va'asa, mahu desema inishacharina ashkechei va'amarle kamash malan, that the chiddush is in fact regarding the sofer. Because one might have thought that if the sofer goes out in the middle of the day, goes out to the marketplace and whatever, let's say he meets another person, let's say another guy whose name is, Yosef ben Shimon, and he's also divorcing a woman named Rachel Bas, whatever. So again, I might have thought that the sofer is going to now change his mind. He's going to now finish writing the get for this other person, for this other couple. So the chiddush is, no, that even if the sofer leaves in the middle of the day, we can assume that when he comes back and continues writing the get, he's doing so with that initial intent that he wrote the get from the outset. Okay. The Gemara says, Itmar Bavel, Rav Amar Ke'eretz Yisrael Legitin, Ushmul Amar Kechol. There's a machlokas regarding the status of Bavel. In other words, if a get is delivered from Bavel, do you need to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam? So Rav says Bavel has the status of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, you don't need to say b'fanei nechtav, and Shmuel disagrees. So the Gemara explains, Lema b'hakam miflagei, demar savar lefi she'in b'kiyin l'shma v'hani gemirei. So the Gemara wants to suggest that this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel regarding the status of Bavel for delivering a get is presumably just a reframing of the machlokas that we started the Masechta with between Rabba and Rava as to why exactly do you need to say Befanei Nechtav in the first place. According to Rabba, the reason is because people are not experts in Lishma, they don't really know the Halacha, but in Bavel the assumption was that the people there overall were Talmidei Chacham and they did know the Halacha, so maybe that's why Rav would say that it's not necessary, and Shmuel would seemingly side with Rava's position that the reason why you need to say Befanei Nechtav is because in Edom it's in the Kaimo, is that you're not going to have easy access to the Edom, and in Bavel, that concern is going to apply if the get is delivered to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara pushes back on this. The Gemara says, V'sispera, Haraba Isle de Rava. The Gemara established earlier that this machlokas between Rava and Rava is not as extreme as the Gemara made it out to be. The Gemara explained that actually Rava, who said that that the reason why you say Befanei Nechtav is in order to ascertain that the people really know the halacha, he also subscribes to Rava's reasoning. He also agrees that another reason why you need to say Befanei Nechtav is because of the accessibility of the Edim. So in other words, it doesn't make sense to say that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel regarding the status of Bavel is really the machlokas between Rav and Rava, because Rava himself also subscribes to Rava's logic. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela dechule alma bu'inan lekaimo, Rav savar kevan de'ika mesifta mishkach shchichei, u'shmuel savar mesifta of the Girsayu tree, that everyone agrees that you also have this requirement of Mitsuyin Lakaimo. In other words, that you need to have access to the Edim. The only question is, how does Bavel shake out in terms of that requirement? According to Rav, he says, because there are so many centralized yeshivos in Bavel, there, in other words, it's very easy to find Edim to come and testify regarding the validity of the get. Shmuel will say that no, all those people are busy learning in the Bate Medrash, and they're not going to either have time, or they're not going to remember, or they're not going to, you know, be focused on the status of the get. Then the Gemara says, "Itmar Nami, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Asinu Atzmenu beBavel keEretz Yisrael Gittin Michiasa Rav leBavel." Once Rav came to Bavel, the Gemara says that Bavel now has become like Eretz Yisrael, meaning to say that there is no requirement of saying Befanei Nechtav in that scenario. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Masiv Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Me Rekem LaMizrach VeRekem KaMizrach, Me Ashkelon LaDarom VeAshkelon KaDarom, Me Akol LaTzafon VeAkol KaTzafon, VeHaBavel LaTzfona deEretz Yisrael Kaima, Dichsev Ayomer Hashem Elai Mitzav." So the Gemara now asks, how can anyone claim that Bavel has the status of Eretz Yisrael when it comes to Befanei Nechtav? The Gemara quotes the line for the Mishnah that we quoted on the very first daf, where the Mishnah was defining the various borders of Eretz Yisrael, one of which was Akko. The Mishnah said that Akko is considered to be the northernmost border of Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of Gittin. In other words, if a get is delivered from Akko or north, so then you need to say Befanei Nechtav, because that is not considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara quoted Reb Meir, who disagreed and said, no, that Akko itself is considered part of Eretz Yisrael. So if a get is delivered from Akko to, let's say, Yerushalayim, you don't need to say Befanei Nechtav according to Rabbi Meir. But the Gemara explains that even Reb Meir, who disagrees with the Tanakhama, who says that Akko is considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael, that's only for Akko. Akko, at least, is close, or it's, or according to Reb Meir, is actually part of Eretz Yisrael. But Bavel is much further north than Akko is. So the Gemara says, how can anyone claim that you don't need to say Befanei Nechtav when a get is being delivered from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, no. Who mosiv lav, who mefarik lo levar mi Bavel. The Gemara never meant to include Bavel when it was defining the borders. When the Mishnah on Daf Beis was defining the borders, it meant within Eretz Yisrael. So according to Reb Meir, Akko is considered to be the northernmost part of Eretz Yisrael for these purposes. And the Tanakhama disagrees and says Akko is considered already part of Chutz La'aretz. But Bavel wasn't even part of the discussion. Bavel is a totally separate country. It's a totally separate area, so it wasn't even, in other words, it wasn't even implied as part of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, then the Gemara asks, Ad heichan hi Bavel? What are the boundaries of Bavel for these purposes? Meaning, if you subscribe to Rav's halacha that Befanei Nechtav is not required when a get is delivered from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so the question is, well, what exactly are the boundaries of Bavel? So Amar of Papa, kemachlokas liyuchsen kach machlokas legitin, v'rav Yosef Amar machlokas liyuchsen ava legitin divri akol an arva tinyana de gishra. So there's a machlokas exactly how to define the borders. According to Rav Papa, there's a machlokas that appears at the end of Masechet Kiddushin regarding what's called Yichus. So in other words, when it comes to the laws of Yichus, the Gemara at the end of Kiddushin tells us that typically the people who lived in Bavel, their Yichus was more pristine or was better than the people who lived in Eretz Yisrael. And so in other words, according to Rav Papa, whatever you think the boundaries of for Yichus are in Bavel, so those same boundaries are going to apply when it comes to where you have to say Befanei Nechtav. And Rav Yosef disagrees. He says no. He says that the standards for the boundaries differ. When it comes to Yichus, the standards are, the boundaries are one thing. When it comes to Gittin, he says that the boundary is defined by the second bridge that crosses over the Euphrates River. That's considered to be the border of Bavel for the purpose of Befanei Nechtav. Then the Gemara says, Rav Chista, Matrich me Aktisfon levear deshir, mibear deshir la Aktisfon la mitrich. So the Gemara points out that Rav Chista required Befanei Nechtav to be said when a get was delivered from the city of Aktisfon to Be'ar deshir, but not the other way around. So the Gemara says, Lema kasavar lefi she'in bekiyin lishma v'hani gemire. So maybe the reason why Rav Chista only required Befanei Nechtav in one direction, presumably, is because the people of Be'er this year were experts. They knew the halacha, so they didn't need to say Befanei Nechtav, but if it was delivered in the opposite, so then Befanei Nechtav would in fact be required. So the Gemara pushes back on this. Again, the Gemara says, V'sispira, V'harabah isle d'rava. We already pointed out in the Gemara before that the machlokas between Rabba and Rava is not as extreme as we made it out to be. Rabba really does accept Rava's premise that you also require Mitsuyin L'kaimu, that you also need easy accessibility to the Eidim. So it doesn't really matter if the people in one city know the halacha. If you don't have easy access to the Eidim, you're still going to require Befanei Nechtav. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela d'chulei alma ba'inan l'kaimo, v'hanei kevan da'azle l'shuka l'hasam, hanach yade b'chasibos yada da'hanei, v'hanei b'dahanach lo yade, maitayma b'shukayu tride. Basically, the Gemara says that the people in Actus Phone were busy with their, the people in Be'ar this year were involved in the marketplace, so they didn't recognize the signatures of the people from Be'ar this year, but the people from Actus Phone, they recognize the signatures of the other people because they would constantly come through their city and they would and they were more familiar with their signatures. Okay, the Gemara says Rabba bar Avua mitzrich me'arsa la'arsa, Rav Sheshes mitzrich mishchuna l'shchuna, v'Rava mitzrich be'osa shchuna. Then the Gemara quotes a further machlokas in terms of how extreme, or in other words, in which cases is Befanei Nechtav required. According to Rabba, he says if a get is delivered from one side of the Rishus HaRabim to the other, that requires Befanei Nechtav. According to Rav Sheshes, if it's delivered from one set of houses or one, apartment complex, let's say, to another, then it's required. And according to Rava, even within the same complex, that's Befanei Nechtav is also going to be required. So asks the Gemara, V'harava hu d'amar l'fi she'en eidim mitzuyin l'kaimo. One of the people on this list is Rava. Rava says that you need to say Befanei Nechtav when a get is delivered even within the same complex, within the same area of houses, but Rava was the one who told us that the only reason why you need Befanei Nechtav is because you don't have easy accessibility to the eidim. Presumably, if you're in the same apartment complex, so of course you're going to have easy access to the aid. He's living on the next floor. So the Gemara says, no, Shiny B'nai Mechoza denied it. The people of Mechoza were different because they were always mobile. They were always moving around. So it wasn't a guarantee that the guy who signed the get last week is going to even be there next week. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rav Chanan Mishtai, Rav Kahana Aise Gita, V'lo Yadana Imi Surah Naharda Imi Naharda L'Surah. Rav Kahana one time delivered a get, but they didn't know if the get was coming from Surah to Naharda or the other way around. Asala Kame Derav, Amar Lei, Tzarichna Lemeimar Befanei Nechtav Ubefanei Nechtam Olo Tzarichna. He raised the question, is there a requirement of Befanei Nechtav for this get? So Amar Lei Lo Tzrichas, he says, nope. He says, there is no requirement of Befanei Nechtav. So the Gemara then says, V'yavad et Ahanis. However, if you say Befanei Nechtav, it's going to be effective. So what does that mean? My Yavad The Gemara says, if the husband were to come and contest the validity of the get, let's say he claimed the get was a forgery, so by already having Eidim testifying and saying, Befanei Nechtav, that would circumvent the possibility of the husband ever claiming that the get was a forgery. Kiddasanya, Maisa ba'adamechot shehevi get lifnei Rabbi Yishmael, Amar lo, Tzarech ani lomer Befanei Nechtav, Ufanei Nechtam o eini Tzarech. So again, a similar story. A get was brought before Rabbi Yishmael. They asked the question, do you need to say Befanei Nechtav? Amar lo, b'ni mehechanate. He said, where are you from? Where is the get coming from? Amar lo Rebbe mi Kfar Sisai ani. I'm from the city of Kfar Sisai. Amar lo Tzarech atalomar Befanei Nechtav Ufanei Nechtam shelo tizakek le'idim. So Rabbi Yishmael said that you need to say Befanei Nechtav so that you don't cause the woman in the future to have to go find Edim. In other words, if the husband were in the future to come and contest the validity of the get, you don't want to have, you know, in other words, you don't want to need her to go scrounge around for Edim. So by the Edim saying Befanei Nechtav right now, that will circumvent the husband ever possibly claiming that the get is a forgery. So then the Gemara says Liacher sheyatza nichnas the fun of Rabbi Lai, Amar lo Rabbi, v'halo kfar sisai muvlas b'schum eretz Yisrael, ukrova letzipori yoser me'ako, usnan Rabbi Meir omer ako ke eretz Yisrael legitin, v'afilu rabbanon lo pligi alei de Rabbi Meir ela ba'ako de merachka, aval kfar sisai de mekar v'lo. So Rabbi Lai walks into Rabbi Yishmael after this guy leaves, and he says to him, but isn't the city of Kfar Sisai part of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? In fact, it's closer to the main part of Eretz Yisrael than Akko is. And again, Remeir told us that Akko is considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of Gittin. And even the Rabbanan who disagree with Remeir only disagree by Akko because Akko is further away. But the city of Kfar Sisai is closer to the central part of Eretz Yisrael. So it would seem like the get should still be valid. So the Gemara says, Amar lo shtok b'ni shtok, ho v'yatza hadavar behetri yatza. So Rabbi Yishmael told Rabbi Lai to be quiet. He said, keep quiet. Since the get has left in a state of permissibility, let's leave it that way. In other words, even though technically speaking, the get would have been kosher without Befanei Nichtav, in case the husband ever contested the get in the future, he didn't want to have that issue arise. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. Why does Rabbi Eli have to come in and start questioning Rabbi Yishmael? Rabbi Yishmael made it very clear why he wanted these Edim on the get. In other words, he said, I don't want the woman in the future, if the husband ever comes to contest the validity of the get, to have to scrounge around to find Edim. In other words, Rabbi Yishmael himself agreed that the get is technically kosher without Befanei Nichtav, but he was essentially using the Edim as a precautionary measure to prevent the husband from ever contesting the validity of the get in the future. Why didn't Rabbi Eli realize that? So the Gemara says, no, lo siyamu kameh, because apparently the people who were explaining Rabbi Yishmael's position to Rabbi Eli, they never concluded, they never finished the statement. In other words, he just assumed that the reason why Rabbi Yishmael thought that he said that Edim are needed is because he thought Kfar Sisai was not part of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, that Edim were required in the Ikar Adin. He didn't realize that Rabbi Yishmael only required Edim as a Chumrah because he didn't want the husband to have to contest the validity of the get in the future. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Shalach le'Reb of Yasser le'Reb Chista. Gittin hagbayim yisham l'chan, ein tzarech lomar befanei nechtav u'befanei nechtam. So Reb of Yasser sends a message to Reb Chista, and he says that a get that comes from Bavel to from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel does not require befanei nechtav. So asks the Gemara, le'ma kasavar l'fi she'in b'kin l'shmava hanei gemirei. Presumably the reason why you don't require befanei nechtav is, again, because the people in Bavel are experts, they know the halacha. So the Gemara again asks, v'sisbara v'harabba islay d'rabba, the same question we've already asked twice on this daf, which is that, again, Rabba subscribes to Rava's reasoning. Rabba also agrees that you need to have easy access to the Edim, and if the get is being delivered from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to have access to those Edim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela dechulei alma bein lekaimo vechevan deika rabim desalke venachte mishka shchichi. There are many people who are going back and forth from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so you would have easy access to those Edim. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef man lemalan de Rebbe Yasser bar Samcha. First of all, who says that Rebbe Yasser is a reliable authority that we should even, you know, care about his statement? Va'od ha'ihu deshalach leil Rav Yehuda b'nei Adam ha'olin misham lechan hin kiyemu ba'atzman vayitenu hayalad bizona v'hayaldam macharu v'yayin v'yishtu v'chasav leib below sirtud, the Amar Rab Yitzchak Shtayim Kosin Shalosh in Kosin, Bimas Nisa Tama Shalosh Kosin Arba in Kosin. And the Gemara says, on top of that general question that maybe Rebbe Yasser is not considered an authority, the Gemara says, I'm going to prove to you that Rebbe Yasser was not as well versed in halacha as we initially thought. One time he sent a message to Rev Yehuda regarding the people who were coming up from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He says that those people who abandon their families from Bavel, they fulfill the pasuk and say for Yoel that says that they're making their sons into prostitutes and their daughters are selling for wine and they're drinking the wine. So what was the issue with his letter? The issue was that he wrote the letter without sirtut. Sirtut referred to the scratch marks that you make in a Sefer Torah. You have to make, you know, in certain other kisvei kodesh. So the Gemara says that whenever you're writing a letter, whenever you're writing a message and you're quoting psukim, there's a machlokas. How many words do you need to write to require sirtut? Either it's three words or four words. According to Rav Yitzchak, you have to write, in other words, if you write at least three words, you need sirtut. According to the Brisa, at least four words require sirtut. But he was writing more than four words. He was quoting the whole pasuk from Sefer Yoel, and he wrote that letter without sirtut. So doesn't that prove that Rav Yitzchak didn't really know the halacha? So in other words, if he doesn't know the halacha, why should we take him as an authority? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. Amar le Abaye, atu kol de lo yada hader Rav Yitzchak lav gaver abu bishlam amilsa desalia besvara lechayai ha Gemara hu Gemara lo shmiyale. The Gemara says, first of all, this was a tradition of Rav Yitzchak. This is, in other words, this wasn't a svara. It's one thing to say that if a person doesn't know some logical halacha that everyone should know, okay, so that maybe is reason to question his authority. This was a tradition from Rabbi Yitzchak. Maybe Rabbi Yasser never heard of the tradition. It's not like anyone could figure out on their own that there's a requirement of sirtut for at least three or four words. It's not something which is logical. So the fact that he didn't hear it doesn't necessarily undermine his credibility as an authority. V'od ha-Rabbi Harav Yasser, who da askim Mari al yade dichsev vatizne olav pilag show. Rabbi Yasser amar zvuv matzala. Rabbi Yonasan amar nima matzala. Vashkechei Rabbi Yasser le Eliyahu amar le Maika avad Hakadosh Baruch Hu amar le asik befilagish begiva. Umaika amar le Rabbi Yasser benikachu umer Yonasan benikachu umer amar le chas shalom umiika sveka kam yishmaya amar le elu veelu divrei elukim chayehin zvuv matzav lo hikben nima matzav hikben. Then the Gemara says, I'm going to prove to you, not only is there no question regarding Rabbi Yasser's authority, but I'm going to prove to you that there was an instant in which God actually assented to Rebbe Yasser's statement. The Gemara quotes a whole story here regarding the famous incident of Pilegesh Begiva that appears at the end of Sefer Shoftim. The pasuk talks about the fact that this man's concubine from Shiva ben Yamin ended up straying. She ended up having an affair. So the Gemara has a machlokas. What caused the husband to go off the rails, to get upset at his concubine? So Rebbe Yasser said it was the fact that he found a fly, and Rebbe Yonas says it was the fact that he found a hair. So the Gemara says that one time Rebbe Yasser found Eliyahu Hanavi, and he asked, what's God doing now? He was learning the sugya of Pilegesh Begiva, and he says, what is he saying? And he says, oh, it's a machlokas between Rebbe Yasser and Rebbe Yonasan. He says, how could there be a suffix in front of God? What happened? And he quotes the famous idea that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayin, that both statements are true, because the husband initially found the fly, but he wasn't upset at finding the fly, but then he found the hair, and he was upset at that. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda, zivuv ba'ka'ara v'nima ba'oso makom, zivuv mi'isusa v'nima sakanta, ika da'amri idi v'idi ba'ka'ara, zivuv unsa v'nima p'shiusa. Then there's a further machlokas as to what exactly happened here with the story of Pilegesh Begiva. So according to Rav Yehuda, the husband found a fly on his plate of food, and he found a hair in the Pilegesh's genital area that could have been a sakana, whereas the fly was only considered to be something disgusting, so it wasn't as serious. In the second version, he found both the fly and the hair on his plate of food, but the fly was an onus, it was beyond the woman's control, so he wasn't as upset about that, whereas the hair was more negligent, so he was more upset about that, and that eventually led to the whole story of Pilegesh Begiva. Amar Rav Chista, lo'olam al-yatil adam ema yasira v'soch beso sha'arei Pilegesh Begiva hitil aleha baila ema yasira v'hipila kamer revavos mi'Yisrael. A husband should never be overbearing towards his family. He shouldn't get angry. He shouldn't impose a sense of fear, because that's what this husband did to the Pilegesh, and it eventually led to tens of thousands of Jews being killed in the civil war of Pilegesh Begiva. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol hamatil ema yasira v'soch beso, sof hu bali de shalosh averos gili arayos v'shtichos damam v'chelo Shabbos. And a person who acts in such a way, who's overimposing on his family, is going eventually to violate gili arayos, shvichos damim, and eventually chelo Shabbos. Amar Rav Bar Bar Chana, who hada amir rabbanan, shlosha dvarim tzarech adam lomar besoch beso erev Shabbos imchashecha, isarta meravtem hadliko esaner, limemrinu bini, tzarech limemrinu bini chusa, ki hechid lekablu mina. The Gemara quotes the famous mission in Baba Madlik, that we say on Friday night, that there are three things a person has to say right before Shabbos. It's say, isartem, did you separate meiser from the produce so that it's not tevel? Eravtem, did you set up an erev chatzero so that you can carry between the complex that you're in? And hadliko esaner, did you light Shabbos candles? So the Gemara says those statements have to be said calmly, because if you say them in a state of agitation because you're rushing because Shabbos is starting in 5 minutes, no one's going to listen to you. You have to say it in a state of nichus, in a state of where you're calm and you're clear headed. Amaravashi ana lo shmili had Rabba Bar Bar Chana v'kiyam tiyam yisvara. Ravashi says, I never heard of this statement from Rabba, but I did it anyway. He says, because it's logical. It's logical that a person shouldn't be yelling at his family even though Shabbos is about to start. Everything should be said in a calm and a collected fashion.